And you also have a lot of activity down in Guantanamo Bay. It's week two of the military tribunal against Osama bin Laden's former driver, Salim Hamdan, accused of conspiring and abetting terrorism. We've been talking to many observers as this unprecedented case has unfolded. And today we turn to Ben Wisner, a staff attorney for the ACLU, an organization that's gone to court challenging the Bush administration's policy here on those detainees. Good morning, Ben.
Good morning, Adora, and I hope the sound is okay. I'm actually calling you from an air-conditioned tent in what they call Camp Justice here, and that's where they've put the non-governmental observers and also the journalists. It's where we're sleeping, and it's where we do our work.
At least they gave you air conditioning.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And how? We all have runny noses.
Listen, you've covered many military trials over the years. How is this one different from others?
Well, actually, I've been coming down here for several years for pretrial proceedings in a number of cases, but this is the very first military tribunal that the government has actually undertaken since Nuremberg in Tokyo. And what's really striking, and I think I'd have to say embarrassing about this, is that the testimony has shown that Hamdan is not just a marginal figure. He's a cooperating witness. This is a guy who sat through literally dozens of interviews with FBI agents, with military investigators. He was described as polite, cordial, amiable. He identified dozens of photographs of al-Qaeda leaders. He described how Osama bin Laden moved around and who his bodyguards were. This is the kind of person who would have been given a pretty good deal in a U.S. court, and instead he finds himself the first witness in the dock. It would be as if the Nuremberg trials opened with the prosecution of Hitler's driver, who, by the way, died of old age in his bed without ever having been charged.
And you say that this movie day on Monday, really shed some light into what you say the flaws are of what's happening in Guantanamo, this being the first of what we expect is many other military tribunals to take place.
Well, again, I mean, the government commissioned this film. They called it the Al-Qaeda Plan, and they presented it to the jurors, to the officers who are going to decide Hamdan's fate. This was a 90-minute inflammatory video that essentially was the government's excuse or vehicle to show images of bearded Arabs firing guns, to show charred bodies, to show the plane slamming into the buildings in New York and people screaming, even though Hamdan himself, according to every government witness who has taken the stand, is not charged with involvement or planning of any terrorist attack. So, I mean, this is the kind of thing that could never happen in a U.S. court, would be reversible error if it were shown in a trial like this. And it was really remarkable. And the other amazing thing about it is that the government hired a kid in his 20s as their chief al-Qaeda expert, and he's the one who made this film. This is someone who studied al-Qaeda in college, who does not speak Arabic, who's not traveled to the region. And you would think that after investing hundreds of billions of dollars in intelligence, at least since 9/11, if not before, that there would be someone within the United States government, an Arabic speaker, who could be used as an expert in al-Qaeda, and you would not need someone who has been described by others, not me, as the Doogie Howser of terrorism, the government's chief expert.
Well, what explains this? I mean, are they just going through the motions? Have they given up, or do they actually think this is going to work as a case?
Well, again, it is going to work as a case. Let's be clear. Hamdan is not here to be acquitted. He's going to be convicted. They didn't fly in all of these colonels and lieutenant colonels from around the country to come here and acquit Hamdan. The real case is going to be later on, when this case will end up in the federal courts and probably once again in the Supreme Court. So it's surprising. The government must know that they are not building a better record for the world, for posterity, and for future court review. This whole thing is really a mockery.
But having said all that, Hamdan actually is also in federal trial at the moment. Isn't he challenging, as the Supreme Court said he could, as in a ruling earlier this year, that he could challenge his detention?
Right, and that's another remarkable thing about the trials here, is that, remember, only a handful of the 265 remaining people at Guantanamo have been charged with crimes. The rest are being held as enemy combatants in the war on terror, the government's theory being that everyone who is such an enemy combatant can be held really indefinitely, or, as they say, until the cessation of hostilities in the war on terror, which sounds more like an abstraction than an actual date. Hamdan is also designated an enemy combatant, so that even if he manages to make it through this trial and is acquitted, which I've told you already is not going to happen, the government's position is that he won't be released because he's still an enemy combatant who will be held until the end of the war on terror. So simultaneously, as you pointed out, Hamdan, as well as the other hundreds of detainees here, is challenging his detention in the federal court, but that's operating on a slower schedule.
Okay, Ben Wisner, many thanks.
Very glad to be here, and I hope you'll have me again.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. Ben Wisner, staff attorney for the ACLU's National Security Project. He's been observing Hamdan's trial in Guantanamo Bay.
What an amazing
window.
Ergo
that very scratchy telephone line there.
But what an amazing window on history, even as disheartening and as he says it's a mockery. I mean, this is a very historic case, and I mean, you can hear the energy in his voice. It's kind of miserable down there, but he's having a great time.
Well, I mean, it's certainly got to be fascinating, especially for legal minds.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.